We have been looking at the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the things that I think is worth repeating is when we look through church life, when we've been in church and had experiences of church, maybe you're new to church, but there are the good, the bad, and the indifferent in all ministries. There are things that we may see that are obviously biblical, and sometimes we see things that we question. Sometimes we see motives that don't seem to line up with what the Lord is saying. And this is why, for me, as we discuss the gifts of the Spirit, I want us to have in the back of our mind the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we operate in those fruits, then I believe that we can operate more powerfully in those gifts. That's just how I see ministry myself. And when we look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, "Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So to be uninformed is to be ignorant to the circumstances. So we're being asked to be informed. And sometimes we need to dig into Scripture for ourselves and say, "Lord, what are you saying? Not just what am I hearing?" You know that when you were pagans somehow, when you were not believers, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Idols that can't speak. Idols that have no spiritual impact. Therefore, I want you to know, no one who's speaking by the Holy Spirit says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts. We all understand that, don't we? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings. They work out in different ways, in other words. But in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. There is no misunderstanding through Scripture. It's the same God that works in all of us. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's when we start to see what God is doing on the inside. So God's doing a work on the inside of you, and when it comes out, it manifests for the common good. It's a good gift for the common good. It's for service of other people. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, which I want to just touch on today, and to another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. So that's what our subject is today, wisdom and knowledge. And I want us just to just put ourselves in the position of what we hear and what we do in life, and think about wisdom. There was a message I in one sense, I would like to have been able to get hold of it, but it was a message that I ministered on 20 years ago, and it went something like this: the wisdom of the word or the wisdom of the world. And it was a message that really highlighted certain things to me. It encouraged me, because there's a way that the world thinks and there's a way that the word tells us to think and to act and to react. Now, I just want to read this portion of Scripture. Not all of it, just you'll know the story. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he was born to him in his old age. And he gave him an ornate robe. Many of us know this story. And when his brothers saw that his father loved this one, they started to hate him. And when we look through the story of Joseph and his technicolored dream coat, when we look at that whole story, there's some visions and dreams that was given to Joseph, yes? Now, I always struggle sometimes thinking, was it wise, Joseph, to share that with your brothers? You know, sometimes in life, something happens and it's good, and we get excited about it and we want to share it. But wisdom, that natural wisdom will kick in certain times, but spiritual wisdom can kick in at the right time to give the right impression. And when I look at this story, I just want to highlight, whether it was right or not, I don't know, but God's in control, was that for you and I, if we pray for wisdom, if we ask for wisdom, then I believe we'll receive wisdom. The word tells us so. So there's times that we will have the knowledge of something. So this is why I put wisdom and knowledge together. So we have the knowledge about something, but is it wise to share at that time? There's something that we want to do and we really want to blurt it out. But wisdom may hold us in check, because now not my, now might not be the right time. And this is where we call upon the Lord. He's given us all a brain. He's given us all the capability of thinking for ourselves, of retaining knowledge and being wise in our own eyes, being wise just because we're a child of God. However, the wisdom that comes through that spiritual gift is when we ask, I believe, when we say, Lord, you grant me wisdom to know when to speak and when to be silent. Lord, you give me wisdom. Have you ever been in a situation where you've just been talking to somebody and words come out of your mouth and they say, how did you know that? They don't use these words. How did you know that knowledge about me? Well, I never. It was something that God placed in my mind, put on my heart, and it just came out of my mouth. And wisdom gives me the ability to share it in the right way, at the right time, in the right context. So as we look through one or two scriptures, it's just to highlight something that you already know. You know, we plagiarize all the time when we read the Bible, don't we? It's nothing new under the sun, but the Word of God says about the Word of God, it's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So hopefully you'll just glean something new from God's Word. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. By this he meant the Spirit on those that would believe later would be poured out. So this portion of Scripture tells us that there are rivers of living water that can flow from us. As the Spirit comes in, the Spirit flows out. This is what Scripture says. So when we look at spiritual gifts, there are some of us that might think that you're not wise enough, you're not clever enough, you're not smart enough, you're not tall enough. Surely God can't use me. He can't give me words of knowledge. He can't give me that spiritual wisdom. Well, I beg to differ, because all those that believe, Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from them. So that's you and that's me. So I'm setting us up for these next weeks when we start to look into the gifts of the Spirit alongside what we've already heard about the fruits of the Spirit. Now, a woman, this is in 1 Kings 3:26, a woman whose son was alive and deeply moved out of love for her son. You know this story. This is the story about the dividing of the two sons. I put it in here because Solomon asked for one thing, didn't he? God says, what do you want? I can give you whatever you ask for. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me understanding. And because of his heart to serve the Lord, God gave him great wealth as well. But there was wisdom. And in that day, there was two women who had two sons, and they were agreeing that they would dispose, shall I say, of each other's child. And there was one left. And they went to the king because they couldn't agree on what to do. And the king said, let's divide that child into two. And then you can have half each. It seems a little bit barbaric, but in the back of Solomon's mind was the wisdom that God had given him. Because he understood that a love of a mother would not stand in the way and let that child be cut in two. So the one who the child belonged to said, no, let the other one have it. So Solomon knew. He knew by the reaction of the other woman who said, no, cut him in half, that she didn't love him. Now that's wisdom. Dividing rightly the word of God is wisdom. And what I mean by that is we can take the word of God, and if we don't divide it rightly, we won't see the truth that's in it. So the Bible encourages us, Scripture encourages us to divide his word. So when we're looking at spiritual gifts, when we're looking at natural abilities, all of us can ask for wisdom. All of us can ask for knowledge. But what do we do with the knowledge that God's given us? Because if we're not wise with it, why would he give us knowledge again? And what I mean by knowledge is this. Not just reading a book and gaining the earthly knowledge. I'm talking about when God reveals something to you about a circumstance or a situation. And you may be aware of it or you may not be aware of it. If you are aware of it, This is where we need to pray, church, for wisdom. What do I say? When do I say it? How do I say it? There was a situation in my family where Susan and I had received some news, and it was news that we'd rather not receive, not at that time in those circumstances. But we had, count, one, two, that's it, that's all we had to make a decision. One, two, and then something had to come out of our mouths. Wisdom kicked in, and we gave a response that we felt came out of the overflow of our hearts. God allowed our mouth to speak, and that decision would change and alter this person's life and the relationship with us. If we got it right, good. If we got it wrong, not so good. So there are times where we don't have the time to pray for wisdom, but because we've sat before the Lord and we've prayed, Lord, give me wisdom, give me understanding. What do I do with the knowledge that's been given me? This is earthly knowledge, spiritual wisdom. Now, the other side of knowledge is where God gives you a word in season for somebody else. I had somebody that I knew that a pastor came up to them and gave them something that the Lord had told them about that person. He was given knowledge. And he totally blew it. Because he took the knowledge that God had given him, but he didn't take the wisdom that God offered him, and he didn't operate in the fruits that God demanded of him. So there are times that God will give us knowledge, but he wants to trust us that we will be wise with it. Does that make sense? So this is a message to encourage us for future events, for the opportunity that we may have, that God may entrust us with something sensitive about somebody else. Can you imagine? My daughter-in-law went into the doctor's surgery. Now, they didn't know her, and they just said, you want to see the doctor because you're pregnant. She said, excuse me, why are you telling everybody else my business? That wasn't wise, was it? She took that knowledge and she was unwise with it. Now, that's a true story. But it may have been news that she didn't want anyone else to know about. So we need to discern, whether it's in the world or we're looking at the word. So there's wisdom of the word and wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the word says, if you can't say something positive, be silent. The wisdom of the world just says, blurt it out. And as we look at Acts 5:3, then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart and you have lied to the Holy Spirit? This is a story that most of us should know if we've been in church for any length of time. It's a story about in the early church, they would sell their property and their belongings to support everybody else. So nobody had too much and nobody had too little. Now, here's the key about this portion of scripture. They had a choice. It was theirs to sell. God didn't demand them to sell it. He didn't ask them to sell it. They chose to sell this piece of land. And when Ananias and Sapphira was asked the question, is this all that you got for this land? They said, yes, but they'd kept some back for themselves. Now, they was entitled to keep something back for themselves. But the bit that we're talking about here is lying to the Holy Spirit. It's when we say something that grieves the Spirit of God. So when we talk about knowledge, Peter had a word of knowledge. He knew what was in this man's thoughts. He knew that he had lied to the Holy Spirit. Now that's a word of knowledge, and something happened and it was catastrophic. But there will be times that you may be, as you pray about these spiritual gifts, as you pray about the fruit of the Spirit, as you pray about opportunities, you may be given an opportunity to speak to someone very close to you. And you may naturally have knowledge about them. But ask God for wisdom to know when to speak about it and when not to speak about it. Have you ever been in a position where you've forgiven someone something and then you get into an argument and then you remind them of the very thing that they shouldn't have done 16 years ago? Not just me then. We need to be wise about what we say and how we say it. So this is a message simply to say that God hears all, sees all. He wants to be involved all. And when we look at wisdom and we look at knowledge, Let's ask God to give us that wisdom, to share that knowledge in a way that will set people free, not bind them up. In Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said. And of course he had knowledge. He's God, isn't he? See, if Jesus knew everything about everybody, don't you think that he could have just persuaded people to come over to his side of the fence because he had all this knowledge about them? But he was wise in the way he spoke. He was wise when he spoke to the underdog. You know, when you look through the ministry of Jesus, he only really got quite angry and cross and firm with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those teachers and rulers of the, who ruled over people, those that should know better, those that should be encouraging those that are in their charge. He would say, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. Yet when he speaks to somebody that's walking in a way that they shouldn't walk, whether it's a man or a woman, the woman who's caught in adultery, he looked up and said, is there none of your accusers here? And she says, no, Lord. He said, well, go sin no more. He knew everything about her. When he was speaking to the woman at the well, he knew all about her life. He wasn't degrading. He didn't put her down. He just revealed something about her. And she had a spiritual encounter because of the knowledge Jesus had and the way in which he brought up through wisdom. So I want to encourage us as we look through these scriptures just to highlight that God is in control, just to highlight that these are gifts that we can all ask for. In Proverbs 2:1 it says, my son, if you accept my words, store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge, the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for those, for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. This portion of scripture speaks about wisdom, it speaks about knowledge, it speaks about understanding, but it speaks about searching. It speaks about our opportunities that God gives us, the opportunities he gives us to ask, to call, if indeed you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. So when we ask, seek, we knock, we find. So if we want wisdom, we ask for wisdom. If we want knowledge and understanding, then we ask for knowledge and understanding. These gifts are gifts. They're to be received. So as we ask, Lord, trust me. One of the prayers I had as a young Christian was, Lord, trust me with the lost and the lonely and the vulnerable. Trust me with the poor and the rich alike. Trust me, Lord. But God's going to test us in that, isn't he? He's going to test us. And when I look through my life story, I share things with you, not because I want to put myself down, because I don't. I have wisdom. I have wisdom. I have knowledge of things. But within my life, I didn't always make a wise choice. I didn't always gain worldly knowledge. But there are things on my journey that I have had the opportunity to hear, to see with my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears. And fortunately, God has given me wisdom to see the outpouring of those things that he's given to me. So when God has given me knowledge about something, about somebody, he's also given me wisdom to be able to build them up, encourage them, not pull them down. So when we look for these spiritual gifts, let's operate in the fruits of the Spirit as well as the gifts of the Spirit. Sticking with Proverbs 5:1, it says this, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight. So if we want to know what God's wisdom is all about, look at his word, because there's wisdom in the word. We start to look at the wisdom of the world and we'll fall into a trap, we'll fall into a pit. If we look at the wisdom of the world, we will keep our eyes focused. We will walk on straight street. Then you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Pay attention to my wisdom, the Lord says. Turn your ear to my words of insight. So God gives us the Bible, he gives us scripture as a measuring stick. So we may have some knowledge about something or somebody or a circumstance or whatever it may be, and God's word will have already given us the interpretation and given us the wisdom in order to discharge the very words that he's given us. In Proverbs 8:33, it says, "Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it." So we want to be wise. We want wisdom to listen to what God has already said. So that's not a spiritual gift, you may say. But the Bible says, have ears that will hear and eyes that will see. Have a heart of understanding. We can only say Jesus is Lord through the Holy Spirit. We heard that, yes? So people on the outside of Christ can't see what you see. They're looking from the outside in. I had a conversation with somebody that's trying to persuade me that Jesus isn't real, and I'm a whole day with this lovely man. A whole day convincing me that this is a lie and this is a lie, and all I can say is, well, I have to go back to what the Bible says. But the Bible's a lie, he would say. But I believe it's truth. So if you're on the outside looking in, you won't see what I see from the inside looking out. If you're on the outside looking in, you won't see what you should see from the inside looking out. When you're on the inside looking out, you see grace, you see forgiveness, you see favor, you see right standing, you see a future, yes? When you're on the outside looking in, you just see rules and regulations, death and destruction. God says, choose life. I set before you life and death. Choose life and life in all its fullness. That's wisdom. But that's a gift. That's a gift because God gives us the gift of faith, we'll talk about at some point, in order to believe that he is real in the first place. But as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, he will show us. In James 1:5, it says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Now, they're not my words, they're his words. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything. It talks about being a double-minded person. So when we're asking for wisdom, we're asking for the wisdom of the word. Lord, I want this wisdom. I want this wisdom that goes further than the worldly wisdom. There's worldly wisdom, there's natural wisdom, there's natural attributes. God has given some of us abilities and talents which are natural. Some of them have been inherited by our parents. Some of them are because of our parents. Some of them are because of our grandparents. We see their life and we want to emulate it. But when we look at the wisdom of the word, it's not about our parents or our grandparents. It's about our spiritual father. It's about our heavenly father. It's about us saying, Lord, you show me. You encourage me. You speak to me. As we ask, let's believe what the Bible says about us. If we ask for wisdom, he'll give us wisdom. But this wisdom I'm speaking about is a spiritual gift. It's something that goes beyond the natural into the supernatural. God is a God that wants to encourage us. In Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. What has God already said? So there is godly counsel. So there are men and women who are wise beyond their years in the natural. You can go to them and say, can you give me some advice on X, Y, Z? And they will. They'll give you good counsel. But how much more the counsel of God? How much more when we go to somebody who is a believer? Somebody who believes that their sins have been forgiven. Someone who believes that God's will for your life is to encourage you and to bless you and to forgive you and to enable you. How much more when we go to people that have that wisdom that God has given them and said, would you pray with me? Would you allow the counsel of God to come into what we're saying? But wise listen to advice, but fools, they do their own thing. As we look through scripture, there's an answer to everything we do. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says this, if the axe is dull The edge is unsharpened. More strength is needed. But skill will bring success. What's this got to do with wisdom? What's this got to do with knowledge? Well, there's some knowledge that we can gain about an axe. If you sharpen an axe, then there's less force needed. So it's wise to listen to good counsel. It's wise to listen to what the Holy Spirit says to us. In that sense, we can sharpen our senses. We can sharpen our axe. So when we swing that axe, it will be effective. But if it's dull, the dullness is when we don't read God's word, when we don't listen to his instructions, when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. There's a dullness within our lives. When we speak of a truth, it's not the truth, it has no effect. But when we allow God to sharpen us, what's the word of God? Sharper than a two-edged sword? When we allow him to sharpen us, when we allow him to take the dull edge off of our life and we invite the Holy Spirit to come in, there's a sharpness to what we do. There's a sharpness to what we say. Do you know what is really powerful when we're thinking about spiritual gifts and when we're thinking about the fruits of the Spirit? When someone's in need and you serve them. I was at the table yesterday at... I keep wanting to say Morris. It's good enough for the army, so it's good enough. Yeah, Barry. And I was speaking to one of his friends, and someone had said something about me which was very generous of them saying, and it sparked this story. He said, I went to work for this organization, and they served tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I went to this church service, and... the organizer, the main man, I couldn't find him. The service was finished. I was looking everywhere for him. He was the top dog. He was the important one within the conference. And as I went back into the main auditorium, he says, there's a man right at the end sweeping up. And that was who it was. You see, there's something powerful and wise with the knowledge God has given us about himself. We will understand that he asked us to serve others. And when we use that in a wise way, it will affect other people. This man was affected by this man's actions. Now, so often when we think about knowledge, we just think about a prophet on a stage revealing things about you. But how much more powerful when we simply do what God has called us to do, because he's given us the knowledge of his word, the knowledge of the resurrection power, the knowledge of his forgiving son, and we have the wisdom in order to know when to speak to people. There'll be someone in your life that you want to invite to church and you're going, when do I do it? Well, ask God. Ask him to give you wisdom, his wisdom. Because we want our axes to be sharp, not to be dull, so that we can be effective. In Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of fools gushes folly. So we want to be wise, don't we? Have you ever had a conversation with someone and walked away and gone, that was total nonsense? But you do it with a smile, don't you? That was total nonsense. I had a whole day of that. It was. But the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge. So the way in which I speak to people, I need to ask God to give me wisdom. Just because we know we're right. That sounds arrogant, doesn't it? If you are a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian, and you say, I know I'm forgiven, that's not arrogance, that's truth. I know I've been set free, that's not arrogance, that's truth. Why? Because you've taken the knowledge that the Bible has given you and you've expressed it through wisdom, saying, look, I know. But there's times we stay silent and there's times that we speak. So we take the knowledge God has given us and we ask him for the wisdom to when to share it. So we continue in Acts 15:19. It says this. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who were turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food that's presented to idols and from sexual immorality and from meat of strangled animals. Now, there's The reason I slotted this portion of scripture in here, because it's not obvious, but there are many things that the Bible says abstain from. There are many things that we could tie people up with rules and regulations. But in this day, they're just saying, look, these are the ones that we need to abstain from. Blood, don't drink it. Don't sacrifice to idols. But let's go one step further. The wisdom of God's word says this. If you repent, God will forgive you. If you say, I want to say sorry, he'll accept your apology. If you say, Lord, I can't do this, he'll say, well, let me help you do it. If you say, Father God, I messed up, he'll say, try again. See, there's a wisdom in God's word, but you need to know God in order to extract that wisdom. You need to be on the inside looking out, not on the outside looking in. And that's wise. When we talk about spiritual gifts, we can say, Lord, take the natural wisdom that you've given me, and Lord, breathe upon it. Let the Ruach of God come. That's the dunamis of the Holy Spirit that we speak about. That's the difference between the natural and the supernatural, the power of God. But the Bible says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So that's living waters. That's the living waters that can flow in. But what happens with a living water is it flows. It's not stagnant. Stagnant water stinketh, doesn't it? But flowing water doesn't. Flowing water comes from the source and it flows down. It's fresh water. And that's what the Bible talks about. That living water, it comes in and it goes out. It's to produce something. It's to produce a harvest of righteousness. It's to clean, it's to cleanse. But we can ask for this. We can ask for this living water. We can ask for this spiritual gift. Because when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, so often we can major upon just one or two. We think the gifts of the Spirit is just people that pray about healing. People that says, I'm a prophet. We'll come on to that one. Those prophets don't exist anymore because Jesus has been, that word has been fulfilled. But we just think about spiritual gifts. We think about the platform ministry, don't we? We think about the teachers and the preachers and the leaders and the elders and the deacons. But no, it's about you and it's about me. It's about us asking for wisdom. It says in Exodus 31:3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. And the person he, Bezalel, no one's heard of him. How many times do you hear a sermon on Bezalel? Right, one today. But what happened to this individual? I've filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. There are people we meet on a daily basis that are Christians, that are filled with wisdom and knowledge and all kinds of skills, but they don't call themselves a title. They simply do what God has called them to do, and that's what I'm encouraging us to do. Ask, wait, receive, respond, live it out. Let God speak to you. Whenever he gives you that word of knowledge about somebody, you might go up to that person and say, brother, thus saith the Lord. Or you could go, yeah, I just have a sense that God wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. I just have this sense in my prayer time that maybe God revealed some things that you're struggling with. Can I pray with you? Can I help you? Knowledge, but you're wise in the way you give it. Does that make sense? Or you can go up and say, Susan, the Lord says, treat your husband better, thus saith the Lord. Now that's knowledge, right? But it's not very wise, because I'll be going hungry this afternoon. It's not very wise, is it, in the application? But it's true. No, that's not true. But what I'm saying is the knowledge God has given you may be true. That's the point I'm making. It's not that you've made it up. God has given you it through a revelation. But if we don't have wisdom, we'll pull someone down instead of lifting them up. If we don't have discernment, if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I meet people, and I'm not, as they say, blowing my own trumpet. I'm not... But sometimes I meet people and the response I get is, they find it easy talking to you, but they don't find it easy talking to somebody else. Well, I like to think because God gives us a discerning heart. He enables us to take the knowledge that he's given us about an individual's life and the wisdom in order to lift them up, not pull them down. Even when something has gone astray, even when someone has wandered, then we can still lift them up. That's wisdom. That's not letting somebody off the hook. It's God's grace. Always come back to the woman caught in the act of adultery. Not a story. Not someone said something to Jesus and asked him for his opinion, but they were caught in the act. And Jesus simply said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. How wise. He didn't have to argue with them. He didn't have to bring a moral argument. He didn't have to question what the law says, whether it was a righteous decision or an unrighteous decision. Wisdom came in and he simply asked a question. That he is without sin. If you're without sin, you cast the first stone. Well, he had knowledge about them because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes? So let's take the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given us. Let's put it into practice as we pray into these gifts this next coming week. Proverbs 1:1 says this, Proverb of Solomon, son of David. For gaining wisdom, instruction, understanding, words of insight. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right and just and fair. So as we go through and we say, Lord, endow me with these gifts. Well, take the wisdom of the word. As we read, as we ask God to reveal to us. Just Proverbs on their own is something that we can gain knowledge and understanding from. But God's words will give us understanding. He will instruct us in prudent behavior, doing right and just and what is fair. How many times have we been in the position where we've gone, well, that's not fair? No, maybe it's not. Now about spiritual gifts. Don't want you to be uninformed. So hopefully today we've been a little bit more informed about the earthly wisdom and the spiritual wisdom. The knowledge that we can gain by reading books, by listening to other people, by going through life, and the spiritual knowledge that God gives us insight into people's lives. And the reason I want to labor this last point is because it can be very destructive if we take knowledge that God has trusted us with and we communicate it in an ungodly way. We communicate it in a way that will pull that person down. Because why has God given you that word of knowledge? Ask yourself that question. Why has he given you insight into someone's heart? Why has he given you that revelation about that individual? So that you can draw alongside them and pull them into the kingdom, lift them up out of the mire. Or you can walk around saying, you stinking rotten sinner, you're going to hell. Now, that's true, isn't it, if you're not in Christ Jesus? But how much more to say, listen, God so loved you that he gave himself to die in your place so that you could have life and life in all its fullness. Take the wisdom and the knowledge, and put it together, and I guarantee you, you'll be sharp enough to be effective. Father, we thank you for your goodness. For your grace, Lord, we pray that we won't be ignorant about your spiritual gifts, but Lord, that you choose to endow us with them. We won't be ignorant, Lord, about the need of others around us, but we will be wise in how we communicate that word that you've given us. We'll be wise about how we speak about you. We'll be wise about how we act and react to good news and not so good news. That, Lord, we will be a people that will lift others up. That will speak the truth, Lord, but lift them up and lift them out and lift them into your plans and purposes. And Lord, the wisdom of the word says, repent and believe. The wisdom of the word says, when life gets tough, let me walk with you. The wisdom of the word says, if you need forgiveness, ask for it. and receive it from me. The wisdom of the word says, God so loved the world that he gave. The wisdom of the world says, let me take all that I can get. Let me take, let me take, let me take. The wisdom of the word says, let me give, let me give, let me give. So Father God, give to us that gift of wisdom and knowledge we ask today, Lord, that we may be prudent, that we may be wise in when we speak and when we are silent. Endow us, Father God. Trust us, Lord Jesus, with your plans and purposes we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.